started at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. The host for the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
What's the good word, Thomas?
Okay, Don Patterson. Hello.
Well, I don't know about you, Thomas, but I'm tired of being cold. I've been cold all day. Wish springtime had come.
Okay, my name's Tom Houston. But ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman, Phil Parr.
Hello there. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. You're cold, Patterson, you say?
I've been cold. It's just dreary and crappy outside.
It's 35 below in St. Paul, Minnesota, and here we're complaining about...
No kidding.
Cold in Texas. It was 8 below the other morning when I called on Tell Me.
Wow.
Just to kind of check and see what the...
But you're talking to a guy that gets in a panic mode when it gets below 80, you know, so...
Well, I think as we get older, our circulation lessens, and your feet and hands get colder. That's what my deal is. My feet and hands are cold.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
You wouldn't? He's got a cold. Today.
Young whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper. Speaking of young whippersnappers, our guest today is 39 years old.
Oh.
I got warts older than that.
Oh,
you know?
To be 39.
To be 39 is right. Brad Dunsey is our guest today.
Hey.
And Jaws will not pronounce that name right.
It certainly won't.
Well, what do you think Jaws might call that?
I can imagine.
Dunce, I think is what they call it. Jaws doesn't have any idea. You know, we have gotten no comment on the bell at the first of the theme song. We thought it was Jaws' idea.
Yeah, no comment on that yet.
And the reason we put that on is because... all three of us went to the Texas School for the Blind. Tom, of course, didn't, but
is she going to start that?
Yeah, I think she is.
That's my big dog, Frankie, wants in here.
You have to let her in.
If you let her in, she'll tear up things. She'll get in the wires, is what I'm afraid of. Anyway, she, they rang bells for everything.
Everything had bells.
We did. They rang a bell. Group one. That was to come take your bath when you were a little kid, being punished for being blind. And
go to breakfast. Had a bell.
Yeah, go to breakfast. Go to dinner.
Yeah,
had a bell. They had a bell in the main building that rang. That an electronic bell, like a big gong that you'd hear, like a fire drill thing. It was just it'd wake you up. Well, if you sleep in science class, it'd wake you right up.
Yeah, that's no lie.
So nobody's commented on the bell. I just wonder if they didn't use bells at other blind schools. How did they call them?
I don't know.
Get up, you little blind boy.
Yeah,
get out of bed.
Beulah the Buzzer.
I wonder how they did in other blind schools. Maybe we could get some kind of reports on that.
Yeah, some comments on that, huh?
Maybe an email or two.
Yeah.
Email or two.
I take it we didn't get any email.
We did.
Maybe a couple or three.
We got a few emails. Did y'all get that stuff off the list to read?
No, we didn't get it off the list, but you know, we got a couple of list things we could fill in with. There's been a little discussion.
You didn't get all that stuff off the list about Stephen wanting to build a portable building?
No.
All of us telling him not to? I hope he does.
It'll be interesting to see how that project goes if it works, won't it?
It'll be interesting to read the email from him after he tries that.
I've done it once, but I'll not... do that again. There's too many little bitty, tiny washers and screws. I mean, it's just hard.
That's what I said on the list last night, man. We put together one metal portable building, and man, that was enough.
They'll cause a divorce.
They will.
Doing it with
actually,
your wife.
Well, you think about it. We put together two portable buildings.
Well, actually, we helped Mr. Houston there.
I was going to say, Tom can't comment on that because he didn't do any of the work. He just furnished a beer, I think,
well,
didn't he?
I may have, but I did help out a little bit.
You did?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Where was I?
I was supervising.
He did. He did. We put him one together.
The wings and said, and do this, Phil. Do that, Shaw.
We did one down at the radio station in Diboll years ago, and it took I still got parts that didn't fit.
Yeah, a portable building is not a fun project now.
Well, I initially bought the little frame that you would put it on.
You did, the floor frame.
Uh-huh, and it ended up, had to do away with it, you know, and just build a wood frame.
It didn't. That didn't work out, that frame. You never could get it to fit?
Nothing was right about it. I don't know what in the world was wrong, but I mean, it was so confusing, it was unreal.
Man, the best thing to do if you're going to build your frame is decide how big you want it, build a big square thing, and lay a piece of plywood on it and nail it down.
Amen.
Build it by scratch or by a pre-cut. That's what we talked about on the list, a pre-cut. Wood building, though, kit, which you can buy at your home improvement stores and just go with that, would have to be easier than a metal building. Anything would have to be better than a metal building.
Of course, then Artie Dixon will
We'll bring you one out to here.
And he says he'll put the windows and doors right where you want them.
Windows and doors, boy, right where you want. Well, that'd be anything would be easier than. Of course, I guess if you had a lot of time, and Stephen,
patience.
Stephen has a lot of time. I guess maybe a lot of patience too. But
I don't know.
It would be there are places you need to put nuts that are almost impossible to get to as part of the thing. And if you make a mistake. You're in trouble. You got to take what you made the mistake on apart, because it won't fit. It'll only fit one way.
That's the big.
A lot of times you need that second person there to hold.
Two people.
Don't want to use your wife or
That's what I say. It
husband.
almost caused a divorce in my.
And you're family. A thing. Did you and Pam do 1 year ago?
Oh God, yes.
Did you now? She probably still has it. Memory of you.
Don, that's why she left.
Don,
could be.
I'd put two and two together. Maybe that was it.
You think that may have been it.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was some guy I was going to say hi to, but I can't remember his name, so let's read some email. I forgot. I'm sorry. I've got that Kraft disease. Kraft. I'll tell you what that means someday.
Okay.
Okay, this one says, hi, guys. In particular... Jimmy Swaggart. Remember last week?
Yeah.
I really enjoy your show very much. My wife, who is sighted, thinks that you guys are a riot. Ask any friend of mine. I'm a nimble-fingered, klutzy, blind guy who has no idea about being a handyman, but your show is quite enjoyable to listen to, that's for sure. I work for the Social Security Administration and have for almost 30 years. The hobbies, computers, music, and other electronic things are my bag anyway.
Yeah.
Keep up the great programs. My phone number and other stuff follow. This is from Lynn White.
So I'd like to have him on as a guest, but he doesn't build anything, so we can't. Maybe I'll have him on the...
Talk to him about music.
Maybe on another show.
We'll have him on the Blind Experience.
Yeah.
We get that guy. See, he'd be a good candidate
for
Blind Experience.
Sure would.
That's a great email, though.
That.
We like to hear those kind of...
Yeah. It was a good email. Thank you very much. And Jimmy thanks you, too. Love your hearts. That didn't help. What if it works better for him than it does for us?
I don't know.
I don't know if it does anymore or not.
No, you're going to have to use Jimmy Swagger to heal that dog if she doesn't shut up.
She weighs about 75 pounds, and she's a lab, and she just is just... She can't understand why we're all four in here, and she's not.
She does love people, I guarantee.
She does. She's a good baby girl. She's a good puppy.
Hello, Blind Handyman. I stumbled across the mention of your show from a reference I found somewhere on the net. And I just completed receiving your archives, or reviewing your archives. Archive 9 has a bad link, and Archive 14 is not a link.
Oh.
You guys seem to be having a load of fun down there in the Lone Star State. I just wanted to drop you a few comments and give you all a vote of confidence.
Uh-huh.
Before I forget, the archive area could really, really, really... use some notes about each file.
Well.
That way, it would be easier to refer back to a specific show if I wanted to hear a certain part. Secondly, I wish you were able to set up your show in multiple tracks like Main Menu, because Windows Media Player only recognizes your show as one track when I listen to them from the on-demand pages. Maybe you can find out how Main Menu does it. Hopefully, it would be a simple modification for a blind handyman. Smile. I am writing you from Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, which is located. It's about 5 miles out of Philadelphia, near King of Prussia, I might add. I am currently losing my sight due to retinitis pigmentosa, a degenerative eye disorder. However, I have not let this problem stop me from attempting to perform the upkeep and remodeling of my home. Now, to give you some perspective, I had to stop driving at the end of 1994, and I was diagnosed as legally blind in April of 2000. My vision is still decreasing to this day, and I would say my vision or visual acuity is approximately 2300 with around 11 degrees of vision left in my visual field.
Oh, man.
I can get around familiar surroundings well without a cane, but use a cane when I venture past the borders of my property. I can no longer read print unless it is magnified to an insane level. Therefore, I can no longer make use of the regular rulers. I am a computer programmer by trade and a handyman at heart. I have had to replace my stove igniter, dryer coil, dryer tensioner with belt.
Mm-hmm.
I figure if I can keep these appliances working by replacing a $30 or $40 part once a year, I'll be happy until something major breaks and I have to dust off the old Visa card.
Yeah.
I found that I am constantly finding new ways to tackle the situation since my vision decreases at an inconsistent rate. For example, I was drywalling, and when it came time to tape and apply joint compound, I think I had more on my hands than on the wall at times. I've been there. I am so used to running my fingers across an object to inspect it that I very frequently run my fingers across my nice fresh compound.
Yeah.
I'm sure it took me longer to get the job done than a totally sighted person because I had to do a lot more sanding, but I still did it. I find it is a serious pain in the butt to use a hammer and nail anymore, so I try to use screws as much as possible. Finishing nails are pretty much the only time I use a hammer nowadays. My wife, daughter, and father do the painting and staining. My feeling on painting is, if it has to look good, I'm not your man. My latest project, that is drying as I type, is a computer table I designed and built from 3/4-inch red oak. The stain really brought out the grain. The table is U-shaped, 96 inches by 48 inches, with a notch cut out in the center area to give me the feeling the desk is wrapped around me. I needed this very large desk for my office area that has multiple computers. I have a 1964 Volkswagen Beetle. I'm rebuilding, restoring, customizing, and I'm learning as I go on this project.
All right.
I am really rambling on, so I'll end this note now. Keep up the good work. Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed listening to Charles's work on the 1804 house, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. And this is sincerely Rodney Haney.
Well, I'd like to say something about Rodney. We kind of did things just backwards. I was pronounced legally blind in 1942 and didn't quit driving until last year. that's hard. Actually, I work at school with a couple of younger people who have RP, and one young lady is still trying to drive, and it's kind of hard. To be able to drive and then not anymore. So. Kind of sympathize with you.
Yeah, but she sure is endangering herself and a lot of other people. By doing that. Did Rodney give us a phone number?
Let me see here. No, but we have his email address here.
So, Shaw, email him and get a phone number. He would be a wonderful
guest.
Weren't you really volunteering good. The other day to help me with guests?
Yeah.
Well, email him and get me a phone number.
Let see what I can do.
Yeah, I like the 1964 Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
A couple of us. Don is sort of into his electric scooter that he likes, and I like little mopeds and little... scooter, little 50cc or less motorbikes.
Well, 64, was that the last year they built the Beetle before they quit building them?
I believe they built some after that. Maybe up into the 70s.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
But it's one of the neat ones. It'd be neat to make a dune buggy out of or a restore. So.
You better believe it.
Well, those guys on Car Talk say that those old Volkswagens were unsafe at any speed.
Well, yeah, there wasn't much to them, but
they were pretty unstable and unsafe.
Nothing but a trunk in front of you.
That'd be it.
I believe Emily may have had a 64 Volkswagen convertible.
Really?
I think she drove for.
Yeah.
Well, that's up with their little blind children at school and take them all over Lufkin and it. So.
Well, you didn't think there was much back then. As we used to ride in the back of pickup trucks.
No seatbelts.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know,
right along the side of one.
So, yeah. Didn't think a thing about
Charles.
It either.
Yeah, Charles.
A blind guy driving.
Running along the side of the truck, guiding. I think I was sitting in the driver's seat, wasn't I?
Yeah.
He was guiding the truck, running along beside it.
Yeah.
Jesus, what idiots. I mean, you know, you wouldn't do that now for anything in the world. But that's Rodney Haney, the computer desk. I've never built one of those. That's quite a thing.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
I'd like to talk to you about that.
That would be quite a venture.
Get a phone number, and maybe we can get him.
Yeah, we need to do that. Also, before we get too far away here, just to update you there on the show links, thanks to Doug Rose there that contributed a lot of time into getting the show links and the topics of what the show was about all together on one page, so to speak.
Boy, didn't he do it, though.
Yeah.
That page is completed and is up on the ACB website now as we speak.
So if you go to show 14, you can figure out what it's about. And didn't you say there was a way to go to places on the show? Isn't there a way to...
Yeah, Doug put in the times that you can look up to each show and the time that, that whatever we talked about is on that particular show, and you go to that using your Winamp, which we need to kind of go over that again, exactly how you do that, but it can be done.
And he volunteered to
update channel, show 14 has been fixed, but show 9 still does have a problem. We need to check into show 9.
Well, I've got a copy of it on CD, but you say now you can go there and you can find out what the show's about. You can go to different sections of the show if you don't want to listen.
You sure can. Well, I don't want to listen to the whole show.
Well, thanks to Doug Rose, who put in a lot of time, and we appreciate you doing that for us, Doug, because we probably never would have done it.
Probably never would.
It was, first of all, I didn't know how and wasn't going to let anybody teach me. Doug, we appreciate you very much doing that. And Doug has offered to keep our thing updated, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. We'll need your help in the future, Doug, and thank you very much for
sort of the resident statistician.
Indexer.
Indexer.
And speaking of Doug Rose, a little email from him here. He says, "Hi, folks. I would be interested to know more about the measuring tool mentioned in show 5. At about 25 minutes into the show."
Whoa!
Uh-huh. All right.
I believe Don Shaw's dad made one, and Robert modified one that Phil has. Phil says you slide it along and can get an accurate measurement. If you know the device I'm referring to, could you describe it again in more detail? Thanks, North Coast Doug.
I believe that was referred to at 227 of show 9. No.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
I'm going to let Phil talk about that, Doug, because I can always remember of that tool ever since I was a little kid. It was always at the house. My dad had passed away years ago, so I have no idea even where that particular measuring stick came from. But Phil can tell you a little bit about how he looked at that.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we all right, let's just do it now. What it is, it's a square piece of wood, and this piece of wood is probably an inch and a half square. And it has a thing that moves along it, that the stick actually goes through
the center.
The center of this thing that moves along it, and you move it along to where you want it, and it doesn't have any measuring marks on it, but you tighten it down. For instance, Don Shaw and I were building picnic tables, and we wanted to put the braces so far from the end on the top there, the brace that went across that held the top together needed to be, say, 7 inches from the end. So we simply, without worrying about inches or feet or anything else, set it where it looked about right on both ends, and then you just go along, and each time you put it up there, you're going to get the same measurement if you don't move the thing that slides up and down the stick. So we didn't know exactly what the measurement was, but we knew it was the same on both ends because we set it that way.
And once you set it and tighten it down, it's not going to move.
And he didn't drill a square hole through a board. What he did is took a block, and he cut a notch in it, and then he put a piece across the top of the block to make this so this stick would slide back and forth. And you could, from the hardware store, he bought a thing with a wing nut on it that you just tighten down against the stick, and the stick can't move. And so it's just a kind of a it's not an accurate measuring device, but it works as good as anything I've ever seen. I had Penny's daddy make me a couple.
Yeah, I was going to say someone actually copied it and made you one, didn't they?
Yeah, because you demanded yours back.
Yeah, well, needed it. That's the boy. If you, it's a handy gizmo.
It is. I don't blame.
It wouldn't be good for precise measurement, but just rough carpentry, it'll get you in the same spot every time.
Oh yeah, every time it'll get you. That's the thing. It'll get you in the same spot every time. So that's what it is. If you want more details on that, we'll email us and we'll let you. Is that all the email, I guess?
That's it.
All right, we'll take a little break, and we have Brad Dunsey is going to be our guest, and he'll be along in just a minute with more of The Blind Handyman.
For a place you can talk about ACB radio programming with friends and other listeners, then you might want to join our ACB radio friends email list. You'll get all the announcement information you'd normally get from our ACB radio announce list, and you can take part in email discussions with staff and listeners. All you gotta do is send a blank email message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. just a blank email message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. Keep in touch. ACB Radio, the station that is out of sight. Hang out with other ACB Radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB Radio. It's all possible through the ACB Radio Friends List.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB Radio. Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org. That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org. Or visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio. On the ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
To go in. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Blind Handyman Show. I'm Phil Parr and Brad Dunsey is with us. Is that, did I do your last name right?
Did it fine.
Because Jaws, and I would imagine Window Eyes, does not see that as it should be. I'll have to go in and modify the dictionary, won't I?
Yep, that's what I do.
Now, where do you live?
I live in northwest Wisconsin, a little town of River Falls, Wisconsin, which is actually part of the metro Minneapolis-St. Paul area, even though it's like 30 miles out, but it's part of the metro area of Minneapolis-St. Paul. So.
And it's actually, you're in Wisconsin, but it's part of Minneapolis-St. Paul grid. Or
metro area, right.
Metro area.
Just over the border.
I didn't realize that Wisconsin was that close. I guess I should have, because we went up to Prairie Home Companion and came back through Wisconsin and bought some cheese and went back to Chicago and caught a train.
There you go.
Anyway, so, and you are what age, sir?
39.
Just a child.
I'm young.
Compared to the rest of us, you're just a child. What is your visual acuity? How well do you see?
Light perception, just blurry shapes, you know. One of the many that sporting in RP, and so, you know, it's just a declining thing. So.
So it is declining. So you saw perfectly or 20/20 when you were a child or born?
Well, I was very nearsighted. So probably 20/30 probably when I was a child, and maybe when I was in my mid 20s. 20, 30, 40, somewhere in there, and then, then RP kind of set in, and then I quit wearing corrective contact lenses, and so, because it didn't do much good, didn't really make a blurry or shape any better, so.
Didn't really help that much.
No, it didn't.
Yeah. And so, this is progressive, and so you are learning, I guess, as you go, because someday will you be totally blind?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they didn't, I'm in a prognosis. When I was younger, said that I wouldn't, but I don't know. I had gone to actually how I wound up on this part of the country was I had gone to Blind Incorporated, which is an adjustment to blindness center in Minneapolis, and so that's how I wound up here. So I did have some training and how to get adjusted to that, but yeah, it was an adjustment because you learn to do things differently. And
could you drive at one time?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That would be To me, the toughest way to take being blind would be being able to, you know, being able to drive and then losing that.
Yeah, that's you know, it's kind of like, you know, the age-old question is, you know, who's the worse, you know, the one that never had the experience in the first place or the one that lost it, you know. And it's tough, you know, when you've when you want to go someplace, you hop in the car and go to, especially, you know, even now here where I'm at, it's not, I mean, even though it's a metro area, it's part of the metro in nine county area of Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's really kind of a segregated city. It doesn't have public transportation, so, you know, anything that any drivers that I have are either family members or paid, you know, so there's not a bus that you can just hop on, and it's just, you know, a fairly small town, only 12,000-15,000 people. So
actually, the town where you live,
right?
Is, but you have a Walmart there.
Then you know they're talking about getting one.
do you have a hardware store? That's the important.
Oh yeah, they got a hardware store.
Ah, if you got a hardware store, you got it made. Who needs Walmart? You got it made.
Hey, did you ever find out what a bobcat was?
No. Do you know?
A bobcat is, they use them a lot on farms and construction sites where it's like a four-wheeled tractor-ish kind of a thing that has a bucket in the front.
Uh-huh.
I only know them by bobcats. There's,
yeah, it has a scoop in the front?
Or big scoop, yeah, and a scoop in the front. There's kind of like a mini front-end loader kind of a thing. And it's maybe, 10, 12 feet long and, you know, maybe 8 feet high and 5 feet wide, something like that. It's got four wheels, and you kind of run it around like a couple little steering sticks and brake, you know, it's like a pedal on the left and pedal on the right. One lifts the bucket up and down. The other one kind of tips the bucket, you know, and so it's kind of a little motorized thing you ride around in, you know.
And so you could or can see well enough to operate one of these?
At that time, my visual acuity was probably like 5%, you know, the range. So it was kind of blurry, you know, but I mean, it was, what I had done is, I had my dad actually help me with that, because what we had done is, you know, kind of routed off an area where we had where the pool was going to go, and since I paid the money to rent the thing, I thought I should drive it.
I agree.
So, I basically did is we just took our time and went around, and he kind of told me when I, because it was really be difficult really for even someone that was sighted to be able to get that close to the line. We had kind of basically cut the grass in a circle, and so I just, you know, cozied up to that line, and once we got the grass off, I just kind of, did the best that I could that I thought was, you know, to be level, because we had to take it from maybe 4 inches on one end down to about 1.5 feet on the other. And fortunately, when we got done, there was only an area of 6 feet by 4 feet that I had to fill in about an inch, and maybe another area maybe about that same size that I had to take down about an inch. So it actually worked great. It worked really good.
You were going to set an above ground pool on this area, and you wanted it to be flat because if the pool wasn't level, the water would leak out, would pour out on one side.
And be about 1.5 feet short on the other end.
Yeah, so you had to, and could you see well enough to tell where the grass was when you were driving this thing with it?
Yeah, you know, where once we had got that broken, the grass off of there,
yeah.
And it was the dirt, yeah, you could see that, but I mean, it was, that's one thing that's interesting about, you know, doing stuff as a blind person. You know, a lot of, when you're doing something like that, the only thing that really helps you is finding out, you know, like what you just said, as far as the difference of where the grass was and where the dirt is. And other than that, it's done by feel anyways. People that, you know, use these machines, they're all doing it by feel anyways. You know, when they bulldoze stuff you kind of, it's kind of having that feeling. It's kind of amazing that a lot of things that, like say in my vending business, in my route partner, sometimes you can't get in and see stuff. I mean, you just can't. You can't get in and see. You have to do it by feel. And he's trying to see, and it's actually a disadvantage at times. You know, so even with a machine such as that, you know, a lot of it is just done by feel, just to be able to feel if you're going down or up, or it's not all that much of a visual.
All right, now we've kind of gotten into your vending route. This is what you do for a living at this point in time, is a running vending route.
Right.
And you are responsible. You own the machines, or you?
Well, I'm in the Randolph Shepherd Business Enterprise Program, so I basically pay them per month to have the machines, and you know, technically they're to take care of the repairs, and they do, as far as you know, the cost. But you know, I wind up doing the repairs, you know, rather than have a service guy come out and do the work. And a lot of times I'll just, you know, do it myself.
A service guy who would take 2 or 3 days to get there or something.
Right. Oh, yeah, something 2 or 3 days, and you know, and you know, just coming so like from the cities, I know that they would charge about $100, $120 just to get here, you know. So you know, that saves them and it saves me, because I, you know, I don't lose sales, and you know, and keep a good business relationship with, you know, the customer, so that the machine isn't down and that sort of thing. So,
but you find, like a lot of us do, that a lot of times in a position where someone can't see, you can reach a hand down in there, feel what's going on, and do it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that's just the way it is. Not everything can you see. Years ago when I had the same house that I'd done a pool with, I'd rewired the house, and
uh-huh.
There was an area, the wall that was in the kitchen or in the living room where I had been, I had to take and cut away like the bottom 3.5 feet or so, and I was going to put a wainscoting, you know, where it's like paneling.
Yeah,
right.
Wainscoting is the stuff that goes up so far, and then maybe there'd be sheetrock above that, but below it there would be paneling, and there would be a little rail or a little routed piece of wood around the wall about 3.5 feet up.
Yeah, just so it has, you know, has cosmetic difference to it. But I had done that because I was rewiring it, and it was an old plaster wall, and it started to break away and that sort of thing. So, but that wall that I had been working on, where it met the ceiling, was actually above that was a bedroom that was right smack in the middle of the floor of the bedroom. So, and it was kind of landlocked to mean that in order to get electricity to that part of the wall, I had to go up that wall and then somehow get the wire underneath that floor. So I mean, you could, and there was an area where, like I say, you can't really see. So you have to do it all just kind of by feel, you know, and essentially what I had to do is make myself about a 6-foot drill bit and shimmy it up the wall and drill a hole in there, and then put the wire on a piece of wood, tape it on there, and go by feel to just poke it through that hole up there, then go up into the attic and add another flat piece of wood with a hole in it. And I just reached underneath there till I felt the wire and got it around that hole, twisted it, and pulled it through. So, I mean, you couldn't, because of where it was located, you couldn't see, because it was...
A sighted person would have had a really tough time doing that, wouldn't
they? Yeah, well, and the thing is that they may not have even thought of how to do that. Matter of fact, my dad, it's kind of like he didn't, you know, I kind of ran it by him and said, well, I don't know how you're going to do that, you know.
Yeah.
But it, you know, you kind of find ways of getting around things, you know.
Well, it's like doing plumbing. If I do plumbing on a vanity, I work with my chin above the vanity. I mean, I'll put my chin on the down on the marble vanity and work with my hands under there, because I don't need to see.
Right, that's more comfortable.
It's more comfortable. Whereas a sighted person would have to lay down in an awkward position to get
climb up underneath.
Would have to. So we have to take advantage of these small things that we get. The advantages of being blind.
That's right. There are some. Yeah.
And you do this vending route every day, and you basically fill up the machines, and you have you have a driver, you have a partner that you have with you, and they drive, and you do carry the drinks in and fill up the machine yourself.
Well, actually, we have enough work that we are actually on route 3 days a week. I don't deal with the snack machines and all that sort of thing. That's what my route partner does, because it'd be difficult, time consuming for me to try to do that. I mean, some things you just can't tell. You know, you just can't, you know, if you can't see it, you can't see it.
Yeah.
And beside the fact, I wouldn't have enough time to do it, even if, you know, I could probably.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes care of the snack, and I take care of the soda, and we kind of split the coffee. You know, we have coffee machines. Mm-hmm. We kind of split those duties. But, yeah, he drives, and yeah.
But you're
that's another thing as far as, you know, all finding alternative ways of doing things, you know, how do you tell what can is what from where, and, you know, and you develop, I just kind of developed a way of, you know, marking the crates in a certain way so that I know it's there, and, you know, where a sighted person would scratch her head and wonder, well, they ask you, how do you know what's what, you know? So you just find ways.
So you mark you have someone tell you what the box is, or the crate is already marked, or?
No, I have them in my storage, and I just have them set up in the storage so I know what's what. And how I do it is we go up to the machines, and I know what's in the machines, and because a lot of them are set up similarly. If they're not, I put a Braille note in there so that I know what's in what column, and we take down what we need on a little. I put mine on a little voice it thing. You know, I just tell the building and whatever it is, and then I go back to the warehouse and I know where everything's in there, and I just play it back, and I pick it out of there, and then I mark it and I shove it in the truck and bring it over there and fill it in the machine. So.
You mark it. How do you mark it? Like you might
actually like you buy the four cans.
Uh-huh.
If you have like if you've bought and. You know, cases of cans that comes in like a cardboard flat. On the long side of the flat, on one side, I tear them in a certain way so that I know what it is.
I got you.
And when Coke, I do it on the narrow side and tear it, you know, a certain way so that I diet's one way and regular is another way, and so that, you know, you can't miss.
And you're 39 now, so you haven't always done this for a living. What did you?
No, that's what I mentioned. I think in my email that we used to have a family roofing business.
A family roofing business in that your father or your
brother and I kind of did it.
You were the roofers, and so you spent a lot of time up on the roof.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Did that when I was younger, and then, you know, eventually we got to a point where I was doing more. The estimating. I didn't do too much of essentially none of the shingle type stuff, although I did estimate and stuff, but I didn't work on those. I kept mostly in the flat and commercial stuff. But
this is what you folks did for a living for a while.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And,
I mean, my dad was in it. I mean, I started working for him when I was like 13, 14 years old.
I mean, that's what he did. That's how he supported the family.
Right. Yep.
Was in the roofing business. So he wanted young son Brad to come up on the roof. And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
What great experience. I mean, you know, a lot of blind folks don't get that experience. And obviously, how did your parents think of you? Did they let you be a blind person? Did they let
the
mistakes?
At that point in time, like I say, I wasn't. I mean, I could see at that point I could drive, and I wasn't blind at that point. But you know, later on, as my vision started to wane. My dad is sensitive to visual problems because he has visual problems, and he had a couple of accidents in each eye that basically, one eye can't see much of anything out of, and the other one has some difficulties with it because of the accident that he had, but he was kind of sensitive to that, and he's never really let that stop him too much, and so, you know, he had no problem with, you know,
with you,
with me,
yeah,
to, you know, and like at that point, you know, it really wasn't much of a problem except for in dark areas or, you know, a lot. Sometimes we'd get to working on larger projects where we'd be working, finishing up stuff at night. And, you know, I remember telling guys to push a roll to the left or the right because I couldn't see the lines and stuff. So, you know,
and you had to have fallen off once or twice.
No.
You never did.
My brother did, though, once. That was a strange thing. He was working with me. He was right alongside of me. We're sitting there talking. And the next thing I know, he come from over by in front of me. And I says, where'd you? He says, I just fell off. tackled the roof.
Well, like, you know, I could tell you the story of me falling off a roof, and I wasn't a roofer, but we won't go into that. But you, and so you did that. You did not, you chose not to go to college.
Well, I had gone to tech college for a year for mechanical drafting. That was before the CAD stuff came in right after that.
Yeah.
And I had actually worked in a manufacturing plant that, they would outfit like, you know, JCPenney, Sears, and they do all the counter tops and flat walls and the displays and that sort of thing. But I hated it because there was I worked in an office that had no windows, and I just felt penned in, you know. And
there wasn't enough light for you to operate, really, right?
Well, not physically, as far as seeing goes, but, I mean, I just felt penned in because, I mean, I had, to that point, you know, always been used to, you know, working in a family business and all that, and actually the pay wanted to be better with, you know, in our family business. And, you know, I guess you get sort of used to, you know, some people think, you know, working for yourself or not being in a, you know, larger place of business that has benefits and all that, they look, you know, trying to do something on your own as being scary. Well, it's sort of the opposite when you're used to working for yourself basically your whole life, and so you kind of get used to and accustomed to doing that and having those, you know, freedoms that go with it, you know, owning your own business and that sort of thing. So.
Well, besides that, you were out in the open, and when Daddy said coffee break, it was coffee break. It wasn't, and if this other job, it was at a certain time, and you were more regimented.
Right. You know, you had your freedoms. You could, you know, you could do, especially, you know, once we had, you know, gotten to where we built things up a little bit more, I was mostly doing estimating and that sort of thing.
I was going to talk about that. You learned to, somebody could tell you the square footage and the pitch of a roof, and you could guesstimate the amount of shingles or the amount of roll roof or what that they would need and give them a price on the job with it.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, basically at that point, you know, I still saw pretty well. So, I mean, as far as that goes, didn't need the help in that point. But, so at that point, I could still see pretty well. But after a while, just due to several things, he decided to scale back the business and all that. Some of it had to do with, you know, competition in the area, and just it was a different time frame economically and that sort of thing. So he scaled back. And you know, I had at that point, you know, coming from, you know, being pretty well sighted to having these problems, you know, I didn't know what I could do or couldn't do at that point.
Yeah.
And you know, like we mentioned, talked about before, is having having that change was something to deal with. And, you know, everybody has their things, and, you know, I went through my things of trying to deal with it. And, you know, hindsight now is, yeah, you know, if things would have, you know, continued on, you know, I could have adjusted somehow to make the job work, you know.
Sure you could have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're about out of time, and we haven't talked about anything, you building anything, or
yeah.
We're about 19 minutes now. We've just kind of covered, basically done your life, haven't we? That's about all we've done. I wanted to talk about, because you had said in your email that you, that a list of things that you had done. You built some furniture, have you?
Well, just various things. I mean, I had, like, designed some wood products that I did that for a time, too, you know, like a cedar chest that kind of looked like a treasure chest kind of a thing. I designed that. And various wood stuff. I don't know. It's, you know, stuff I did around the house, snack bar and things like that. And I got more. I did for a while some of the, making toys and all that, where you kind of mass produce these things. And I didn't care for that. I kind of like to do in the designing things, you know, coming up with something and see if it would work.
Well, let me say that you've taken being blind, as far as I'm concerned. I always thought It's always been my thought, if you got to be blind, you might as well start out that way. And that's not right, and I know that's not correct.
Yeah.
But you had vision and were able to drive, and now you're down to a little more than light perception, and you've handled it well. Let me compliment you, sir.
Well, we try. Like I say, everybody has their times of adjustment, but, you know, you deal
with what you're given.
That's
and,
right.
And that's the way you do things.
That's right.
I'm going to give you a month or so, and then I'm going to call you back, and we're going to talk in depth about some things, some pieces of furniture. I'd like to hear about the snack bar.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to talk about that. But we are out of time. Brad, thank you much, and I've got your phone number, and I'll be back in touch.
That sounds good, Phil.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, thank you.
Back with more of the Blind Handyman in just a minute.
ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove. You can hear
live, unpredictable internet radio
on the ACB Radio Interactive. ACB Radio Interactive, playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s, 80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening, adult contemporary,
and more. Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive. ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com.
Latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
This is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, we're back in. And while I think about it here, before I've got a little deal I want to talk about for a minute here, but while I think about it, before we get too far away from this.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the list for just a minute again, the new list that we've got going, the Blind Handyman list.
That's a good idea.
If anyone wants to subscribe to the list that didn't hear the announcement on last week's show, if you'll just simply send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. And send that, and that'll subscribe you to the list. And if you want to go and visit the group homepage, or the group page, rather, go to www.groups.yahoo.com/group/blindhandyman/. And that's it. And that will take you to the group start page. And you can do different things there when we finish getting everything set up. Like you could click on links to go to some different links that we have on the page. We have some files that are on the page on deck building and deck and porches.
Yeah.
We have a little file on if you have a water problem in your backyard, which some of us do, where we have problems with standing water in the yard.
Boil.
We have a file on getting rid of the water in your backyard, different ways to do that.
We were going to put our biographies of ourselves up there, weren't we?
Well, yeah, at some point I guess we could do that. And it's a growing, it's new, it's going to be growing. We're going to be getting more files, more links, maybe a chat area to go in voice chat here in the future, maybe a biography, and just who knows what all there is to come yet. So
it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress, so
and
to speak.
A good project for Don Show.
On the web, they call it under construction.
Under construction, well, so to speak.
I think we're kind of constructed. We're just sort of underfunded.
We're just ongoing. But anyway, the little deal I have to talk about here, which was a deal here, a lesson to be learned from this. I know I learned a lesson from it. Back over the Christmas holidays there, as a matter of fact, it was on Christmas Day. My wife and me had these hams that we were going to cook, you know, 7-8 pound hams. And we put them in this in this foil, this big giant oval foil pan.
Yeah.
And she put the pineapple and, you know, toothpicks, pineapple and the brown sugar and just whatever on the hams. And man, it was going to be fine. And covered them up with foil. And I said, well, she started the oven, preheated it. And I said, I'll go ahead and put this pan in the oven for you. You know, the pan was so big that we had to take out the top shelf just to put it in there. Anyway, I said, I'll pick up this pan and put it in there for you. And I noticed between the cabinet and the oven, I was thinking to myself, man, I need to be careful when I take this pan out because this pan could bend. Yeah.
You can see this one coming up Timberland Drive, can't you?
This pan, boy, it could bend right in the center. I said, I'll keep that in mind here. Yeah,
you did.
And anyway, I just picked it up and put it in the oven. You know how it is. And closed the door and went on my merry way there. And 3 or 4 hours later, whenever it was, when it was time to take the pan out of the oven, guess what?
Yeah,
I opened the oven, and I'm talking, I mean, it wasn't probably more than, 6 or 8 inches between the oven shelf and the oven door.
Couldn't have been.
And what I was going to do is just simply take the pan out, which I knew, thought about, might bend in the middle, and just simply set it down on a cookie sheet that I had sitting on the oven door. I said, I'll do this right.
You didn't make it.
I didn't make it. Between the shelf and the cookie sheet on the oven door, the pan did bend in half, and man, the juice just came pouring out. I mean, it was bad now. I mean, I'm talking hot ham, juice with the brown sugar and the pineapple juice, sticky, hot.
That you'd been smelling for 4 hours and thinking, Jesus, it's going to be good.
Swearing. Yeah.
Cussing, man, it was not good. Just was not good.
That's pretty good.
I spilled it on me. I mean, just all over the door. Got some on the floor. It was just everywhere.
But you didn't lose the ham.
But didn't lose the ham. Didn't drop the ham. It did make it to the cookie sheet and got the ham off of the oven door and finally over to the stove. But the moral of the story is just don't, I wouldn't use foil. I will never use a foil pan for cooking anything big again.
Unless you set it on a cookie sheet.
Throw away foil pan.
Yeah,
and I happen to be the one that put that oven in that house, and I'm wondering, I know the location. Was this before or after you put in your new floor right by there?
Oh, no, it was after. We definitely had the new floor down.
That's why it happened then, because I've never put anything new that I didn't.
Yeah, I hear you.
I destroyed a new car. I mean, we were driving it off of the showroom floor when we bought it, 1975 Monte Carlo, and I was a smoker. Taking the cigarette out of my lips, it stuck to my lips. My finger slid down the cigarette, and I had the fire. Well, I burnt the headliner, the floor, and the seat all in one fell swoop.
Man, that's a tough way to go.
I bought a suit with 2 pair of pants and burnt a hole in the coat.
Whoa. That'd be pretty tough now.
Anyway.
That'd be pretty tough.
Moral of the story is you were out Christmas afternoon with the oven door out on the workbench, taking it apart because this juice was all down in the oven door.
That's the handyman part of the story. If you ever do have an oven door that the glass is either messed up on or needs cleaned, it is a doable, blind-friendly project to lift the door off the oven, take it into your tool room or out to your garage, and simply take the screws out of the oven door. It's in 2 pieces, 2 plates. In other words, the front and the back part of the door separate.
Yeah.
And you could get in the middle, absolute middle of the oven door, and get lots of 409 or your favorite kind of cleaner, degreaser, and two or three rolls of paper towels, and just have at it.
So what you're saying is a blind man.
It's a blind-friendly project.
Yeah.
He may be a repairman, but he'll never be a chef, right?
Well, that's I don't know about that.
So how was the ham? Pretty good?
Oh, the ham turned out great.
Yeah.
Fantastic, yes. Even.
That's amazing.
But, man, I wouldn't want to do that again. I mean, I guarantee you, it took me a couple of hours just to really clean that door. I mean, that grease was just everywhere.
Well, more to the story is the oven door will come apart. If you spill something in it or if the glass is broken, or there's something wrong with the...
It's definitely can be fixed and cleaned.
You can pull the oven door, huh?
You sure can.
You can pull it off and take it elsewhere and clean it.
It just lifts right
you
off.
You open it.
They open about 45-degree...
And it'll
45-degree angle.
And it'll just pick right up.
Yeah. And watch your fingers, because the springs are kind of like a mouse trap or something. When you remove, when you lift the oven door off
those
the spring,
flip
it
back.
Will flip back in towards the oven.
Okay, let me ask you
this. So.
I have some light bulbs in the house that won't burn because the socket is dirty. How do you clean those? Does anybody know?
Well, I don't.
Maybe
know.
Somebody. I figured with your oven door thing, maybe you'd
oven. I mean, light socket cleaning.
Light socket cleaning. Maybe someone will email us. Should I do Jimmy Swagger today? No, we did that.
Are you sure that's why the lights don't burn?
Yeah, I'm sure, because you can move the bulb around in the. Of course, I need to do is replace those little sockets. I guess replace
that
them.
That might be the trick.
It'd probably be. Don't worry about cleaning them. Just replace them.
Yeah, probably so.
I would.
Well, we'll look at that when we get in the house.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about anything worth of anything today, have we?
One of those kind of days.
Brad Dunsey and I got a little windy there, got a little talking a little bit. Anyway.
That was a good interview.
This is show number. We don't even think we said what show this was.
As a matter of fact, this is 24. Well, we should have said that long ago.
He did. He said it right
This will help
beginning.
Our statistician.
Did I say it at the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay. Our statistician, Doug Rose. We'll have this one up and rolling. Show number 24. It's been interesting, and we'll do it again next week, I suppose. We will accept your email, friends. Write to us at blindanimate@hotmail.com. And we'd love to read about you on the air. We need guests. We always need guests. And no matter what you've done, no experience is too large or too small.
That's right.
For all your handyman needs. Right here in the old blind handyman.
Write us on that list. Let's get some good topics and handyman project discussions going.
If you can't remember the email list, name of the list, email Don Shaw at blindhandyman.com and he'll send you the way
info.
To get it. He'll send you the info about the list.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks, Pat.
I'll see you later.
Be sure and put your bracelet back on, your ankle bracelet.
Well, I'm on work release now. Now I'm off electronic surveillance.
His girlfriend's got him on work release.
Yeah.
Don Shaw has been with us, and Tom Houston. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Yep.
We'll see you all next week. I'm Phil Parr, the blind handyman. I see you said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions. 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.